It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Game down to one pitch. Hirsig brings it in, and there's the last pitch on a swing and a miss. And the Royals have shut out Baltimore 1-0. The Royals scored that run, as I just mentioned, in the sixth inning. They made it stand up. And there's something about the Royals in Baltimore in postseason. The Royals have their number. And the big number today is 1-0. Royals.
Denny Matthews on the call yesterday right here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's just do it all over again today. A nice repeat works for me. Cody and Gold live out at Jefferson's Alexa. We're in the same seat. If you were out here yesterday, I think you got to come back out now. That's the requirement.
Oh, you think that it's like a superstition thing?
Yeah, same seats. If you were sitting in the booth or across the way from us, same seats, okay? Same thing, same food, everything.
So do I leave?
You might have
early?
To leave again. You might have to leave again.
So like yesterday, for those who didn't know, I'll be here for the entire game today at Jefferson's in Lenexa. I had some parent-teacher conferences to handle.
How did that go?
Yesterday went great. Kids are great, turns out.
Did you tell them, hey, we got to wrap this thing up. I got baseball to watch.
Oh, I felt like, I think some of the teachers know what I do at my children's school and some don't. So like initially, like one was like, hey, you work in radio, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm watching the game right now. Like actively while we're getting ready to start this, while I wait for my wife to come meet me, I am watching the baseball game because I miss like six outs. And then, you know, those things last 10 minutes, but I want to be there for my kids. But I'm going to be here today. Other than that, we can keep everything the same because the truth is, I don't know if I can handle another 1-0 game.
Ooh.
That was stressful. And I am constantly reminded that once we get to important baseball games, how much stress they cause me. Because unlike football in some ways, every single play, every single pitch makes me nervous. The ball gets fouled back, hit kind of hard foul, and I'm like, oh God, Jesus, that could have been bad. Ryan O'Hearn comes into pinch hit, and I'm like, oh, God, please don't do this
don't
to me.
Don't be him.
Don't let Ryan O'Hearn dash my dreams. But instead, 1-0, Cole Reagans delivers, bullpen delivers. You heard the final out from Hirsig. Everyone feels good today.
Yeah, but you know what? You're right. It was stressful, but that's also fun. I mean, there was a calmness in silence right before that final pitch from Hirsig, before this place erupted. And if you follow us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter in particular, X, you saw how excited everybody was. And how many times have we talked about in the last week, you know, the buy-in factor from fans and what is it going to take? And I had said, you know, I think it's going to take a home game back in Kansas City. And that would be an ALDS. And I still think
one more win and you're going to get that.
I still think that's the case. But I think yesterday, certainly if you were at a watch party, but, you know, there was, I think now, a belief that this team won a playoff game. That exists for those that were still holding out. Like, okay, they're in the playoffs, but
are they going to do anything?
They're not
going
to do
that
anything.
Nonsense.
No, they just won a game and they're a win away from advancing. They just need a win in the next 2 days to get to an American League divisional series for an organization that hasn't been in this spot in 9 years. I mean, that
team they've got some history against.
Yeah,
over
I mean,
the course of their.
In Baltimore now, of course, is just a city that this city of Kansas City has owned when it comes to sports here recently, and big wins in the last calendar year, Ravens AFC title game, and now the first wild card game. We'll see what happens today. But yeah, I think yesterday hopefully was a reminder to people as well of how fun playoff baseball can be. You know, there were moments yesterday where it felt like 14 and 15 again. It's never going to be that fully. But just in terms of everybody high-fiving each other, and you said it, stressful, living and dying by every single pitch. That's what playoff baseball is all about. And boy, oh boy, was Cole Reagan's unbelievable. You know, it's one thing to talk about how great the rotation is set up for a series. It's one thing to talk about how Reagan's was an all-star and what a great signing trade he was a year or so ago and all that. But for him to have his biggest start of his career and deliver, you know, he works around a leadoff double in the third inning, and then he strikes out back-to-back hitters when the Orioles had that first and third with one out in the fifth, and then he finishes it out with, you know, eight strikeouts, and then for a second everybody's like, wait, whoa, 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 why are you pulling him out of the game? Whoa, 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 whoa. Turns out he had cramps.
If he had just pulled him, I'd have been pissed. If it had worked out, I'd have been like, what the hell are you doing? I thought we talked about this.
It would have been the whole Tampa thing with Blake Snell all over again. But no, he was pulled because of an injury. He's fine, though, it sounds like. The guys had Q on this morning. You'll hear some of that a little bit later on in the show in terms of his status and everything moving forward if they get to a divisional series. But that is the second time in a month where, yeah, he's had cramps. But, man, was he great. Was he great yesterday?
What stood out about it is yesterday the Royals won a pitcher's duel against Corbin Burnes, who has pitched in these type of games, not often, but has pitched in these types of games, is a multi-time all-star. He's been one of the five best pitchers in baseball for years. And the Royals threw out Cole Reagans, who's only been a starter, really, honestly, at the major league level for a year and a half. Sam Long, who doesn't have any postseason experience. Chris Bubich, who doesn't have any postseason experience. Lucas Urseg, who doesn't have any postseason experience. And what did they do? Shoved the ball down their throat. And that stood out. Cole Reagans, in his very first ever playoff start, got eight strikeouts in six innings on just 80 pitches and dominated the Orioles lineup from start until finish. He had his best stuff that he's had in 6 weeks last night. And whether it was that Urseg got in a little bit of trouble, and according to Q last night in postgame, Salvi came out and calmed the waters, that final changeup, nasty. No business. You couldn't hit that with a tennis racket.
It does feel good, because what you're saying is right. You know, you always wonder when guys haven't maybe pitched in that kind of spot. And you went through each guy.
Yeah, those guys don't have any experience.
There's part of you that's like, okay, like, you know, maybe you just don't have the makeup to handle that situation. And that was, of course, not the case. They all delivered. It was sensational, and it puts them in an incredible spot for something really special to happen later on today, right here on 96.5 The Fan, here in Denny Matthews. Hopefully call another win and get this team in the American League Divisional Series against the New York Yankees, who are waiting for a game in the Bronx on Saturday night. And now, to me, you really experience the benefit of the rotation. It was one thing just to have Reagan's pitch, because we know he's capable of being great, and he was great. But we looked at the Orioles, and we said, hey, Corbin Burnes is the real deal. I mean, he was terrific yesterday, and he backed up all the hype and everything and all the discussion, what he's been throughout the last couple of years of his career. But now the rest of the pitching matchup, oh, boy, does it ever favor the Royals. Whether it's Lugo today, if you need a game three, hopefully not, then you have Waka. I mean, now it's beautiful, and we know that the Orioles are going to empty the tank today no matter what happens, because they can't lose. It's a do-or-die game for them. The Royals have the luxury of not having to be in that spot, because you take game one on the road. I thought, you know, for a pitcher's duel always is going to be interesting from a crowd perspective, but, like, from what we could tell, and admittedly there was a lot of noise here, we were watching the game, but and maybe you were in a different spot than me, so maybe you could pick up. I didn't feel like you went about the crowd not being a factor in the game. That was that yesterday. I know it's not the same as football when we talk about crowds, but for that game, you didn't really give the Orioles much hope. There was two moments when I mentioned Reagan's getting out of a jam or two. There weren't many moments where you felt like the Royals couldn't handle the pressure, both at the plate or, of course, with any of the guys that came out of the bullpen as well. It was just a sensational win. And a month and a half ago, or even 3 weeks ago, if I would have told you the Royals were going to be in a playoff game and win 1-0, you would have said, you're out of your mind. You would have said, with this bullpen? you think they're winning a 1-0 playoff game? No chance. How many times do we say that's going to be the Achilles heel of this team when they get knocked out? The bullpen. And what do they do? They didn't give up a single run. Nobody gave up a run yesterday.
I told you the way I feel about the bullpen is so dramatically different than the way I felt for the first 135 gold, 140 games. Hell, I don't know. Like, a long time. But I felt better about We felt better about the ninth inning, starting at the trade deadline. Urseg came in, was immediately throwing gas, and we're like, okay, problem solved on the ninth inning. And then the seventh and eighth was still a disaster there for a while. We're like, I don't like any of this. Once they decided Bubich's turn and the major league level came around, you're like, well, he's not really letting up any runs or any hits, and he's good against righties. And we're like, well, this might just work after all. And then once Sam Long found it, it's like, well, they can go 7, 8, 9. Now, look, I'll just be honest with you. If Seth Lugo is at 80 pitches through 6 innings tonight, I'm going to want him to pitch the 8th or the 7th still, right? Maybe the 8th, right, depending on how it goes. My strategy on that hasn't changed, but my confidence in their ability to win that way has. You realize, I think it was Randy Cesarelli who put out a really good stat yesterday. The Royals have won like 20 consecutive, it's a little bit more than that, like 20 consecutive postseason games when they're up after the 7th. Or after the 6th, you're like, this is insane. Now, look, a good stretch of that was HGH. Yeah. Technically, the Royals have a 3-game winning streak going in
that's
the postseason.
Right, that's right.
Because their last win was, before this one, their last postseason win was Game 5 of the World Series against the Mets to win it. So, like, the Royals are on a winning streak in the postseason.
Well,
they just found a way. It stood at Reagan's was the most important. Because I'll be honest, Burns was great. Burns absolutely had it. This wasn't just, and we'll talk about the offense in a minute, it wasn't just Burns. It wasn't just like Royals offense, stinky. Burns was great. They needed Reagan's to have
absolutely
that kind of performance, and he matched it.
And we'll talk about the decision, too, with the managers in that game, because you're right, Corbin Burns was sensational, but they chose, and he chose, it sounds like, not to walk Bobby Witt Jr. in that crucial spot yesterday and get to Vinny Pasquantino. Instead, they let Bobby Witt Jr., who's going to be, you know, the runner-up in MVP conversation, step up, and Bobby delivered, of course, with the RBI single that was required and ultimately the only run of the game, won the game for the Royals. We're going to talk to Cody Decker, former professional baseball player. He now does radio over for Mad Dog Radio, Beadle and Decker. We had him on out in Vegas. I want to talk to him about yesterday's game and also just the potential that could be a Royals-Yankees matchup down the road as well. We're going to get to that in about 5 minutes.
It was a single wildcard game, right? So, like, in the scale of important playoff baseball games, pretty mild, right? I mean, one wild card game, there's a DS, a CS, a World Series, a million things after it. I'm telling you, that makes me just as stretched as watching the fourth quarter of a Chiefs playoff game. And I know that it shouldn't fundamentally, but part of that is just like the Chiefs anymore make me less nervous as a – they just make me less nervous as a person because I've seen it. I've seen it a bunch of times. All they ever do is win.
Of course.
Oh, no, they're down in the fourth. Instead of, like, panicking, I start going betting the Chiefs' money line over on, you know, DraftKings or something instead, right?
You
I
also
just find
know
other
in baseball
ways,
how but quick it can shift. I mean, in baseball, you could be up in yesterday's case 1-0 and all of it. Yeah, one pitch, it's a home run, and it's a whole new game. I mean, if the Orioles tie that game, I think we probably know how that ends up. It probably doesn't result in a win in that postseason momentum and all that. I do believe it exists, and the Royals right now have the momentum. Vern, in postgame, if you were listening to 96.5 The Fan, driving home from the game, driving home from the watch party and everything, or just getting home from work because the way the game played out, that game moved quick.
Yeah,
man.
And new baseball, baby.
Yeah,
and you get it over in a
Vern
couple of
mentioned,
hours.
It's a small sample size, but 8-0, man. 8-0 when you win that first game.
In the new
game,
playoff format.
In the new
yeah
format, you win that first game, game one. And I know that happens in every series. It's always in your favor. You take game one.
But not 8-0, not 100%.
Not perfect. And so the trend is on the Royals' side heading into today, and if needed, even Thursday. Hopefully they can wrap it up today, though, when they take on the Orioles. And again, it'll be Seth Lugo on the bump, another guy that you love to have out there.
That stat, it's funny enough, it goes one step further because 7 of the 8 times they swept. Not only are they 8-0, but 7 of the 8 times the series was over like today. Just watch Royals win. On to the ALCS and the New York Yankees. And not that it matters from like a I just think the Royals are the kind of team that needs some things to curve in their direction in order to make this playoff run a magical one versus just a playoff run. They needed that win, or that loss, actually, technically, by the Twins on Friday night so that they could set up Reagan's and Lugo for this series. If they could just win today instead of needing somebody tomorrow, well, then they get Waka to go on Saturday against the Yankees, and then they're right back in, Reagan's and Lugo. So they still get their number three, their top three starters against the Yankees in that series. I think if you're a team like the Royals, sometimes you need those little things to keep going your way in order to keep winning these
games. Yeah, that's why Friday night was so crucial Friday night was so crucial to set up the rotation. We saw the benefit of that yesterday, maybe today with Lugo, and I think you're 100% right. If you can wrap it up today, then you get Waka on Saturday in the Bronx taking on the Yankees. Let's go out to the hotline, though, here on Cody and Goldie. Welcome in Cody Decker from SiriusXM, Mad Dog Radio, Beetle and Decker. We had Cody on last, I think, in Vegas out at Circa. We were enjoying ourselves out there. Cody, we're having a great time in KC right now, feeling good about yesterday. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm feeling just as good as you guys are, man.
Well, you were a former member of the Royals organization. Do you like seeing him succeed?
Yes, I do. I was a big fan of that organization. Yeah, it was heartbreaking when they told me after they flew me to Kansas City that I am going to Omaha, and then they traded me roughly 3 hours later. Ugh. But don't think for a second I don't support this organization. I do. Good people, good fan base. It's a great city. How can you not love the Royals and everything they've accomplished this year? I'll freely admit this. Now, everyone can come at me with their pitchforks all they want. I did not see a playoff run this year. I saw a step forward, but man, this was five steps forwards, and I couldn't be more excited for the team right now. I think they're going to go ahead and take this wild card series. And like you said, if they win this game today, they have a hell of a pitching matchup going into the weekend against the Yankees. By the way, that five-day off scenario, I had Eduardo Rodriguez on my show yesterday. He feels the same way I do. The Yankees got a lot of swing and miss, man. This is very much available for the Royals taking if they get it done tonight.
We have played the audio of you from August when you joined us talking about that very thing multiple times, Cody, where you mentioned if you were to face a team in the postseason, maybe who would you like to see? And you mentioned the exact scenario back in August that, hey, the New York Yankees, you give them some time off and they're a little rusty and swing and miss. All that could contribute to, you know, an opportunity for the Royals, and that's maybe the team that they want to see. I know they got to handle business today, but that sets up where it could be a good thing for the Royals.
It really could be. And keep on, make no mistake, I do think that the Yankees are the best team in the league. But I don't need to tell you guys, it's not about the best team. If this is the best team to win the World Series every year, the Dodgers would have like 10 World Series, and they do not.
What do you make of, like, so typically, and you've watched a lot of baseball over your years, seen a lot of players go through it. Do you think when it comes to the playoffs and, like, that clutch factor or performing in the playoffs, you either just, like, have it or you don't? I mean, Cole Reagans was in his first ever playoff start and dominated. Mikel Garcia has been bad, honestly, for the Royals for the last 60 days, and seemingly like his cousin, Alcides Escobar, turns it on a little different when the lights are on. Is it just as simple as you have it or you don't, and no amount of time is going to make a difference? Or is there an advantage for these teams who have, like, maybe played in a few of these?
The answer is yes and no to everything you just asked. The real answer, I think, at the end of the day, is that baseball is just weird. I mean, people come and rise to the occasions at the weirdest moments, and also guys get cold at the weirdest moments. As much as I want to say, now make no mistake, Reagan's absolutely dominated that game yesterday, and it was a phenomenal watch to see. But let's be real clear. A lot of teams going into the playoffs, the bats get cold. It's a combination of a lot of things. It's a different environment. It's a different crowd. It's a different exposure. Hell, these are teams right now, specifically the Royals. I mean, I don't think I need to tell you guys, the Royals aren't moving a ton of paper as far as the national media landscape. So this is really a coming out party for every member of this team, except for maybe Salvador Perez, because he's might be the only guy that the most of the country actually knows. Same with Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. needs to be a star, and this is an opportunity for him to become a legit star. Don't think he's not one of the best in baseball. He absolutely is. But I want people to talk about him the way we started talking about Mike Trout 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think somebody put out that Mike, unfortunately for Mike Trout, that I think Bobby Wood Jr. already has, is it as many playoff wins than Mike Trout had in his career? Yeah. That's just sad to say, right?
Very, very, very sad to say.
Cody Decker joining us here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned Bobby Wood Jr. there as well. What do you make of the decision there? I know Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager, was asked about it. He said he left it up to Corbin Burns, but they pitched to Bobby Witt Jr. there instead of walking him to bring up Vinny Pasquantino, who hadn't hit in a month.
You know how this goes, man. I think they made the right decision by going after him. It's not like he hit a three-run home run. He hit an RBI single, and it was a 1-0 ball game. I think if you give him the opportunity to make that decision today, he won't make the same mistake twice, and he'll probably pitch around him and make the rest of the team beat him. But it won't matter because you put that man on base, barring the fact that you might be clogging the base if there's somebody else on first base and so there's runners on first and second, Bobby Witt Jr. is just going to take second base. And if that happens, all of a sudden you got chaos on the base path. you have yourselves movement. And I don't think that's something that the Orioles want. Just because Bobby Witt Jr. can absolutely be in scoring position with nobody on base and he is just in the box by himself, you don't want Bobby Witt Jr. on the base paths in a playoff scenario either.
Is this why the Royals do better when they get to the... Look, they don't get to the postseason often. Cody, admittedly, I've been in Kansas City my whole life. I get it. But when they get to the postseason, they seem to have a lot more success than other teams. Yesterday with Baltimore, Ryan O'Hearn gets on base with a walk. They got no one to just get on the base paths and actually do something for them. Score from first on a double, steal a base so that a single's away, score on a pass ball. Are there teams that make the mistake of not structuring their playoff rosters around the need for one run matters more in the postseason?
I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake. More so, the Royals just need to build themselves differently. I don't think it's out of the realm of, you know, yeah, obviousness that this is a team that doesn't spend a ton of money. That this last year kind of a bit of an outlier. But like this offseason, you know, Juan Soto's going to be a free agent. Are the Royals going to be in on him? Absolutely not. They have to build.
I mean, I hope so, but probably not.
I mean, I would love it, and he would look so good in that unit. But let's be real clear. It probably just not. Ain't happening. So they got to build from within, and they have to build different ways. And one of the ways they've already shown the proven model from the previous regime is basically just trying to create yourselves a God-tier bullpen, which they have done a pretty good job of getting a starting staff, making some interesting moves. But even though they spent $100 million this offseason, it's not like every name that they got was like, oh, man, this is the one that's going to do it. It's not about getting the best players. It's about getting the right players. And this Royals front office has done a phenomenal job of getting the right players. And it's not necessarily being that team that wins 9 out of 10 every single 10 games, but winning 6 out of 10 and being consistently winning 6 out of 10, squeaking in a 7 out of 10 type of scenario. This is a very sustainable model for this team in a very tough division because it's a similar model to what the Cleveland Guardians are doing. It's a similar model now that the Detroit Tigers are doing. I think this is going to be one hell of a dogfight in this division for years to come. And I think that the Royals have everything available to them right now to win a World Series. We'll just see how it plays out because, one, they got to win this one against the Orioles, and we can't pretend that the Orioles are a bad team. They are not. They're just playing bad baseball for the last 30 days, and it's a bad time to get cold. Then they're going up against the Yankees. If they can catch the Yankees on a bit of a cold streak, this just might be a team of destiny. I just don't know what we're going to see out of it yet. But, man, as a baseball fan, as a supporter of the Kansas City Royals, I'm all for it, bro.
Somebody that got a lot of people excited yesterday going into the game was Vinny Pasquantino. The fact that a month after breaking his thumb, he was able to be in the lineup. I know he didn't come up with a hit yesterday, but just speak to how amazing that recovery is. And then also the challenges that he's probably facing right now, just from a timing perspective, how hard it is for him to jump right back into the lineup with no rehab assignment or anything and try to contribute to this team.
Dude, I just told you how hard it's going to be for the Yankees to take 5 days off. Imagine 35 days off. Listen, his bat just being a presence in the lineup, we already saw it actually come to fruition yesterday. He didn't need to get the hit. He just needed to be there so they pitched to Bobby Witt Jr. Now that bat's worked out, hopefully he's gotten himself four at-bats under his belt. He can kind of get his timing a little bit there and maybe get on base on his own merits. But so far, just his overall presence has helped them win a baseball game.
I want to ask you one small thing about something he mentioned yesterday from a former professional standpoint. He'd mentioned in his press conference he had to change to a lighter-colored bat, and it was like throwing him off watching his swing through the zone. I don't know why. It must be like the composite or makeup of the bat relative to how he holds it in his thumb. Does that make a big difference for baseball players, the color of their bat?
Listen, baseball players are weird, dude. It could be anything. It could be we didn't like how we sat on the toilet yesterday, so we have to change how we sat on the toilet yesterday. Trust me, we're superstitious to a fault. It's stupid. It makes no sense. The color of the bat has no bearing on the hitter life or the swing. But you know what? If he thinks it does, you betcha it does.
Last one for you, Cody. Tigers, you mentioned them. They're playing as good a baseball as anybody. How do you see that playing out? Do you think both AL Central teams get into the next round?
I think they're both going to get to the next round. I currently have both of them ending in the next round, but I would very much like to be wrong. The Detroit Tigers are a very, very exciting little surprise. Who actually saw that coming, especially going into September? I'm always a fan of watching the Minnesota Twins collapse. I'm not even certain why I like watching the Minnesota Twins collapse. It's just a hobby of mine every single September. And why would we stop this year?
Cody Decker from SiriusXM's Mad Dog Radio. You can hear him on Beetle and Decker. Appreciate it, man, and we'll have to see you out in Vegas sometime soon.
Bro, I'm always in Vegas. Come find me. Let's do some stuff. Go Royal.
There you go. That's Cody Decker with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Really, really great insight from him, and always fun to have him on the show. He does a great job over on SiriusXM, and yeah, we had him on the show. He brought up the example again of the Yankees, and that's in August. It was one thing that stood out, and it stands out even more, which is if you can get through this one, maybe you catch the Yankees and you get Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and they're a little off on their timing for a game or two. Doesn't mean that they're not going to heat up eventually.
But if it's one or two games you get
and you're on the road in the Bronx, and we'll have plenty of time hopefully tomorrow to talk about that, because we need the Royals to get this thing taken care of in Baltimore first. But that's something to keep in mind if the Royals can handle their business.
Speaking briefly of the Royals before we continue to talk Royals, obviously, as Bobby Wood Jr. came through yesterday, and we can talk more about that, somebody's covering the Bally Sports bankruptcy hearing. Right? So, like, okay. They've talked about their restructure and all their Chapter 11 stuff. As part of that, Bally Sports announced that they are rejecting all of their MLB team contracts other than the Atlanta Braves. So now we don't even know we're watching the Royals next year.
Isn't that where the whole Amazon thing might come into play?
Maybe. I'm just letting you know. That's future Cody's problem. I get to watch the Royals on ESPN.
Yeah, and the numbers came out.
Baseball game.
The numbers came out yesterday for the season, though, for Major League Baseball. All national MLB TV partners were up. ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, most watched in 5 years. MLB.TV record viewership up 14% in terms of minutes watched. International viewership up 18%. So
you can remember there's less minutes to watch in a baseball game now, too. And they set a new record for minutes watched.
Mm-hmm.
That means all the pace-of-play stuff is working. I know some people might complain that the game is too quick now, because it is hard. It's hard to get a hot dog. I think it's a worse in-stadium experience because the game is shorter. But it's better at home. There's no argument it's better at home to kind of fly through those things. I don't want to risk getting a hot dog and missing two innings of action. But at home, what's the difference? So just go to the kitchen and move on.
Well, if you just want food brought to you while you're watching the game, then just come out to Jefferson's this afternoon. We're going to be hanging out till 2 on the air. Then we hand things off to Vern. We're going to do this whole thing just like yesterday. Baseball, though, at 3:28, I guess, is the first pitch instead of 3:08 officially today. But we've got our watch party. Everybody from 6:10, I did it for the first time, 96.5 The Fan.
That was a pretty good run from you, man.
I know.
Not bad. You did it.
I made it a month and a half without slipping up.
Well, I kept saying Club 610, so
yeah,
I made it
a month and a half. A 96.5 The Fan. We're going to be hanging out here. We've got dollar rally shots, $3 Royal Blue refreshers, $12 Miller and Coors buckets. And if you came yesterday here, I'm telling you, you have to come back. I mean, superstitions. That applies to fans as well. So we hope to see you guys out here. But up next, let's talk more about Corbin Burnes and what he did in the lineup. And another name is now being discussed that could be traded in the NFL, and of course, people want to talk about the Chiefs trading for said player. We'll do that.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Next.
So here's Junior with two down. Swing and a ground ball, base hit left field. Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half? And the Royals lead 1-0 in the sixth.
That is, of course, all they would need yesterday. A 1-0 win for the Royals in Game 1 of the American League Wild Card against the Orioles right here on 96.5. The Fan, just 5 hits for the Royals, just 5 hits for the O's. But the
one team got a run, the other team didn't.
Junior stepped up, came through, and we'll talk more about that particular plate appearance in a little bit as well. Don't forget, we are out at Jefferson's in Lenexa today, broadcasting till 2 o'clock, and then we got a watch party throughout the rest of the afternoon. A little bit later, we got an extra half hour today in terms of waiting till the start time. For whatever reason, it was on a 3:08 yesterday. Today it has to be 3:28.
It'd be 3:08 tomorrow if they had to play. So baseball's
I don't know why
weird.
It's 3:28.
Also, why 8? Why 38?
That, that
why not
happens.
Just 3?
It's like the NCAA tournament times. It's weird.
Yeah, that's a TV thing. That happens. I mean, the NFL used to do that a lot with stuff, but yeah, it's an exact time. There's a reason for it. Although I was talking with our boss about this yesterday. It's not like, and maybe they will today, and this is why. It's not like ESPN broadcast had like a studio show or something.
No, they didn't kick over until 3
right?
o'clock.
Yeah, so
8 minutes of pregame, essentially.
So I don't know why the game is 3:28. Are they thinking that there's a clinching scenario in the other game, and so people might be staying and watching? I don't know. I mean, the Astros game won't be over, just like it wasn't over.
Yeah.
In time, even if they wait 30 minutes. So
small complaint about the broadcast.
Okay.
And then we can talk about Corbin Burns. McDonough talked too much.
See, I couldn't hear it as much.
Baseball is supposed to be in about like the moments, the stationary moments before the next thing. He's out here telling me about what a good job the umpire crew did and why they've earned their spot in the postseason. I don't care, man. There's a pitch going on. Cole Reagans is actively throwing McDonough. I don't care about what a nice job the umpiring crew did this year to earn their spot in the postseason. Just leave that off the docket.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I mean, we had the audio on, obviously.
The cameraman was having a hard time.
That, yes.
He was fighting.
100%.
He was fighting.
Early on in that game in particular, I mean, some of those, the balls would go in the outfield. Like, you're like, what? And the replay would catch it, but live, it was terrible. I think there was definitely some issues with the camera crew out there. But that's why, you know, like, just you can sync up your TV with 96.5 The Fan. I know some people were doing that. So you can listen to Denny and Ryan, et cetera, while watching the game. And then you don't have to worry about the ESPN broadcasters during said game or anything like that. But let's talk about that offense of the Royals and Corbin Burns, because Corbin Burns deserves a ton of credit, too. We knew going into this game the quality of pitcher he is.
AL pitcher of the month in September.
He's going to get a massive payday again in the offseason somewhere else, I think.
Honestly.
He was really, really good yesterday. He made the one mistake. Bobby Wood Jr. took advantage of his decision to actually pitch to him. And I know Cody Decker's correct. Like, hey, it's one of those where Bobby Wood Jr. just gave him a single. You didn't give him a home run. It wasn't that bad of a pitch.
But
I was surprised, though, that we'll talk about Brandon Hyde later, the manager of the O's, but that Corbin Burns, they decided to go after him, knowing that Vinny was on deck. But that was also why it was great to have Vinny back in the lineup, because
Yuli Gurriel, they wouldn't have thrown to Bobby Wood Jr. I mean, plain and simple. They wouldn't have done it.
Yuli got a hit yesterday, though.
I am still – I understand, but you know what? There's a difference, between the threat of Vinny and the threat of Renfro or Gurriel or some of the other guys who have been hitting behind him in that situation. I know I have to give some credit to Corbin Burns. He is a great pitcher. He was pitching as a great pitcher. But if you think that this is going to just be like, I'm just going to wash this one away after watching this team not hit for a month, that ain't going to happen. The offense still looks lost, still looks like he can't buy a hit. Yesterday, the problem wasn't even what the problem's been the last 2 weeks, which is runners in scoring position. The problem was yesterday is no one was on base. There wasn't a single player who was threatening, typically. There were two threats, I thought, by the Orioles. In the third inning, obviously, Reagans had a couple of guys on and got out of the jam, leadoff double right, and they were unable to take advantage of it. And then in the fifth, a couple of guys on and one out, and of course, Reagans again worked through that problem. The Royals, they look like they're still free swinging too much. Like Salvador Perez is still swinging at pitches 17 feet outside the plate. When he's locked in,
he did that, man. He's
spitting.
Like
he's always swung at those some, but you know he spits on them a little bit more right when he's going a little better. Vinny looked like a guy who hadn't hit in a month. Looked like he could use a few more swings in order to get comfortable. And there were a lot of other just like plate appearances right in the course of the game. What I really wanted was once Burns was out, and he came out after they got a runner on. Can you stack a couple of hits now? Can you find one now that Burns is the hell out of here? And it went just as quick as it did as Burns. They were going 1, 2, 3. So I'd like to see a little more offense today if I feel like it's snapping back into
form. Of course, and I don't know if we're going to see another 1-0 game either way today. But some of this is
some of this is
playoff baseball, though. I mean, you could tell it's just a good old playoff pitcher's duel. You see this a lot in October, as Cody Decker was saying, for a variety of reasons. You see bats and offense kind of tick down a little bit. You've got your
same in playoff football. Points and runs are always harder to come by.
Just a lot of reasons for it, and I think in this series it's even more possible to have another game that's similar, low scoring, because you have a three-game series, and so your rotation, you know, you're not worried about who your fourth pitcher is. It is your best three pitchers. And in the Royals' case, you have two of them being all-stars this year. Yesterday, the Orioles had their best pitcher, one of the best pitchers in baseball, go. There's a decent drop-off from Corbin Burnes to their next guy up in the rotation, and that's hopefully what the advantage will be today for the Royals. Now, the Royals are underdogs, if you were wondering. They're going to go up against Zach Eflin, who came over in a mid-season trade,
still a road game.
From the Tampa Bay Rays.
And he's had a nice run since the Rays, but he's not as good as Lugo.
No. But he's not a pushover by any means. But the Royals have the advantage in the rotation again today.
All their bullpens available still?
Bullpen still advantage Royals. And then offense, generally speaking, you would say the O's, but when they're going up against quality pitching, they didn't string together enough hits yesterday. There were a couple loud outs, but that was it.
Did it give you a little bit of, I think everyone took, there were two things on social media yesterday that warmed my heart a little bit. They were back in postseason baseball and warmed my heart. One was an overseas fan who had like one like on the tweet, and then somebody found it and sent it to me. One like on a tweet that just said, the Royals have some dude on their broadcast who sounds 100 years old, and it's the best. And he was just, like, so excited about it. I'm like, that's Denny Matthews. He's 81, and he is the best. So that warmed my heart. The initial thought,
I am glad,
like,
Denny made it on the road trip.
Me too.
To have that opportunity.
Me too. And I want Denny
to
call him postseason baseball. He's been with the team since day one of the organization. The second one was Jason Lockenfor, who once got hung up by this station.
Yep.
By the afternoon show, in the middle of a different Orioles series, when he was saying the Royals were frauds as they were continuing their postseason run, yesterday on Twitter, he had to send out, I'm sure, a tweet that hurt him that said, they screwed up the number one pick and it's not even close. Because he's watching Bobby Witt Jr. come through with the big hit versus Adley Rutschman, who was the number one selection in the MLB draft the year Bobby Witt Jr. went second to the Royals. Thank God.
Well, and then also just the whole year-long comparison.
Him wear it felt good.
The year-long comparison. Gunnar Henderson's an incredible baseball player.
But he's not Bobby Witt Jr.
Remember that earlier on the All-Star break, All-Star voting, we were discussing Gunnar Henderson, who ultimately started over Bobby Witt Jr., and we thought that was ridiculous. Our guy Vern's going to join us at 12:30. We went back and forth with Vern around that time of the year.
We're like, how dare you do this to Bobby?
I think he voted for Gunnar Henderson.
And then Bobby hit like 400 the following month.
That did change things a little bit. That definitely did change some things. But, man, oh, man, it was just cool. You're right. There was a lot of things that brought back good memories yesterday.
Yeah.
Whether it was being at a watch party, even just seeing weird tweets from people.
The amount of people who text you or you text with.
I even saw
that you don't normally text with. Like, that just happens all the time.
My favorite thing, too, as I said, was the jokes that people had, because Kansas City just dominates in sports right now. And it's like, well, I guess the umps in Major League Baseball just want the Royals to win, too, you know?
He said that about the Royals?
Yeah. I was like, that was the joke.
Mm.
That people, I'm like, that's great. That's where we're at, man. Royals, Chiefs, just keep on winning, man.
Nothing
center of sports right here.
I mean, I will say, if I lived in Baltimore, I would hate the city of Kansas City with every fiber of my being. For the last 10 years, every time Baltimore has what appears to be a World Series caliber team or a Super Bowl caliber team, Kansas City as a city has been the kid when you've got like your, you know, when you put your like, when you're like little kids and you fight and you put your knees on their biceps and then you tell them to quit hitting themselves as you'd hit them with their own hand, or you tell them to calm down. I mean, it's that level of picking on the city.
Well, look at the last
Kansas City's
year.
Been kicking Baltimore's ass for a decade.
And this last year.
And I imagine
year,
they'd be very tired of it.
The last calendar year in particular.
Yeah.
AFC title game. And then, of course, right now in the wild card series, the Royals in the O's a little bit later on this afternoon. As I mentioned, Vern's going to join us around 12:30 today on the show. We will also talk a little NFL with Ross Tucker. Tucker during the Chiefs Red Half Hour at 11:30 today. We'll get right back to the Royals, I promise, here in about 10 minutes. I do want to briefly talk Chiefs only because we saw some news in the AFC West yesterday that Davante Adams wants out of Las Vegas. Who can blame him? The Raiders are willing to trade him. They should be willing to do so. And so with that, there's been a lot of speculation among other teams who's interested. The latest reporting suggests the Jets and the Saints would be the likely.
Oh, so preferred. The two last quarterbacks he caught passes from?
Yes.
Derek Carr.
The preferred destination of Davante Adams would be those two places. I think the Commanders are in a really intriguing spot with Jaden Daniels and up-and-coming quarterback, and that division is right there. The Commanders currently lead the NFC East, so that's a team to watch. And then, of course, Kansas City. Naturally, with the wide receiver issue right now with Rashee Rice injury, Davante Adams and Kansas City come up. I just don't see it, and I'll get to the latest reporting on it in a second. But even prior to that, one, I don't believe the Raiders' Mark Davis is trading Davante Adams to the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, let's just start there. I don't believe that.
I mean, if you're the Raiders and they offer you the best pick, you should.
I'm sorry. Not a player like that, though. I'm not anti-divisional trade if you think it betters your long-term future. I don't think you can – a team that's going for a three-peat, a team that has just owned you, a team that just won a Super Bowl in your building and pop champagne in your locker room, I don't think you can trade your best players, maybe second-best player on the team, to your division rival. Then there's the financial end and why ultimately I think the Chiefs are not in the mix here. Davante Adams' cap hit is $25 million this year.
Although it's less to acquire, quite a bit less.
Sure, but then, now there's a potential out, you either would have to cut him and eat 15.7, or, let me check that number again, $44 million in 2025.
There's things called
$44 million
restructures.
In 2026 for a guy that'll be 33 next year. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much.
The only problem with not kicking the tires on it, right? The Saints and the Jets have both pretty much publicly confirmed the same thing. We're not in a hurry. There's a lot of time left in the football season. We'll do our due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of teams more desperate than the Chiefs. We know that, right? The Bills, the Saints, the Jets, all these teams. Like Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. They desperately need to try to find some way to create enough magic this season to make a postseason run and pray like heaven, they get the final years of Peyton Manning in there. But more than the last 2 years, the Chiefs are also desperate. They're desperate because they don't have any wide receivers left. Rashee Rice is hurt. Hollywood Brown is hurt. Isaiah Pacheco, there seems to be, like, now people are claiming maybe there's ligament. Who knows? I mean, but, like, maybe his injury is a little bit longer than we thought, so we'll see. So they're desperate because they need a wide receiver, and because I do think they want to be the only team in NFL history to actually complete this three-peat. I would tell the Chiefs that they're in a weird fine line, which is if you sell your soul for the three-peat, if you could guarantee it for me, I would do it. I'd sell my soul. I'd sell the next couple of years of cap where things looked uglier and it was harder and you don't win championships for the three-peat. But because you can't be guaranteed that selling your soul is going to get it for you, you have to tread very carefully. Because they've been also spending their time trying to set themselves up for the next 2 or 3 years. They're in pretty good cap spot each of the next couple of years because they want to continue to pay guys like George Karloftis and Trent McDuffie and upgrade offensive weapons. And if you pay Davante Adams, that gets a lot tougher.
And they already paid Chris Jones. I mean, there are consequences to making these other moves, too.
Yeah.
And they've always been about extending this window. And they didn't become a dynasty because they made bad decisions by mortgaging the future and giving up reportedly maybe requires a second-round draft pick plus paying money to get Davante Adams. So I fully expect him to be on the Jets in the future. I think the Commanders, as I said, are interesting. Adam Schefter's latest reporting on this, I'll just read you the tweet. He said, while the Jets and Saints interest in Adams, there are other teams that remain interested. Despite any speculation, the team not expected to be an option is Kansas City, per sources.
So Diana Rossini came out with a tweet about an hour ago that said Davante Adams is owed $13.5 million for the rest of the year. It drops by $970,000 a week, if I remember right. It's $4 million in cap space that Chiefs currently have, right?
Bonus, yeah.
So if there's 5 weeks to the trade deadline, it's like $4.8 million that drops off of that $13.5 million. So they still wouldn't even have the space, even if they waited all the way until the deadline, to make the deal.
I just think that it's money-wise. You should be thinking. not caviar budget. You know, like, I still think people are going to be maybe shockingly disappointed in the wide receiver that, because he did this last year, yeah. And who was the wide receiver they added, Gold? Mecole Hardman. Okay, yeah. A guy who wasn't even playing for the Jets. It's going to be the top level of player I think they trade for at wide receiver at this point is Darius Slayton. I think that is like the maximum. Amari Cooper, I'd leave in the list.
Deontay Johnson,
because he's owed nothing.
But. Deontay Johnson has no years left on his contract. Adam Thielen has no years left on his contract. Compensation's not going to be as crazy. Those, to me, are more realistic options in a couple of weeks. Amari Cooper is who I would prefer out of everybody. I don't know how realistic that is. DeAndre Hopkins, same boat. Davante Adams, Drew, you're on the financials for this year. I still think they actually could maneuver things to make it work. The issue for me is the age and what I'm due next year.
Yeah.
And the year after that,
the future
$44 million cap hits.
44, that's nuts.
According to SpotTrack, yeah, $44 million.
And the acquiring team would be on the hook. This is the other problem. They might have a harder time trading than you think. The other part is, though, they say they want a second round pick. Gold, they're never getting that. They can say that all they want. This happens all the time. The Chiefs reportedly want
a second
round pick.
They'll get a conditional third or fourth.
I think it'll be a fifth. Like, you cannot convince a team to take on a $15 million dead cap hit at best. That's the best-case scenario for Davante Adams next year. Not unless he's signing an extension, reworking that cap number, doing all this other stuff. Because if he's not doing that, what the hell would I give a second-round pick and I got to pay the man $15 million just to go away next year? No, no, no.
How much do you guys think it would take to get Deontay Johnson? Like, what would it take to get him?
Yeah, his is probably a fourth round. What did the Steelers just get for him this past offseason, guys? We can just look at that as and that was not even a mid-season trade. That was an off-season trade where, remember, everybody was like, man, the Panthers got him for like a sixth or seventh round pick, if I'm not mistaken, this offseason.
Oh, maybe lower than I was thinking. Yeah. Sorry. I apologize. Now you're going to make me look it up.
The reason I'm asking is because they have that third round. I mean, they technically could go even better if they can land somebody like maybe Amari Cooper. I don't know what it takes to get him, but they still have that. They got the third and the seventh for that Legarius Sneed trade that they have extra for this upcoming draft that they potentially could use if they want to use it. I don't know if that seventh could maybe get Deontay Johnson.
It was a seventh round pick swap.
Oh, yeah. They might as well use
a
the seventh.
A seventh for a sixth.
And he's not making any money. He's not making any money either. That's a realistic option. The problem is he will also be a popular option, but because other teams will like it for the same reason the Chiefs do.
Sure.
So they'll have to maneuver there a little bit. 913-586-7965. Someone from the 816 says, hey, what about Keenan Allen? I'll be honest, I'm not interested because the issue why we're discussing this is what? Injuries to the wide receiver room. Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice. What do you think of when I say Keenan Allen other than the Chargers? Now he's on the Bears, but the Chargers. I think of a guy that never stayed healthy.
He hasn't stayed healthy for the Bears.
So, he's hurt right now. So, no, I'm not interested in Keenan Allen. For a 32-year-old that has struggled to stay healthy and on the season has 7 catches for 48 yards.
Yeah, I just don't think that this is a realistic one. I guess the same argument applies. Like, I guess I hope he doesn't go to an AFC contender. But do you think that I'm going to be like, well, the Chiefs can't beat the Jets now that they got Davante Adams? Nah, I think I'll be fine. Their coach was actively blaming the rain for their lack of offense the other day. And just as a reminder, when you play football, both teams play in the rain. Turns out, both teams do. I don't know if you knew that, Gold. One team does not actively play in sunshine and rainbows, and the other one plays in rain. They both have the same rain. And then they were out here having to answer questions about cadences, like that apparently his are too complicated or something. They've got dumb problems, man. Bad team problems, not good team problems. They can have Davante Adams all they want. I don't care.
That'll be a fun name to watch, though, over the next couple of weeks, just as an NFL fan. I don't think so. Kansas City's a player at all, as we said.
Agreed.
But where does he end up, and does it shift anything? And what other players are available? I've said it a few times in the last day or so, but we always talk about a bunch of receivers being available. And I do think he'll get traded. Davante will, because he wants out. They're willing to move him. But we always act like all these receivers are getting moved. We always hype up trade deadline because the NFL's king, and talking transactional stuff in the NFL is fun. It's speculative. It's great. That's why the NFL is so good. But it's not like it's the NBA trade deadline. It never is. It just isn't. We never see the same activity. This year, maybe we'll all convince ourselves.
We'll see a little bit later in the year, maybe.
A few days before, with the trade deadline getting pushed back, maybe that helps. And I think that's why they pushed it back. Teams know if they're in it more at that point in time. So we'll see, I think. Somebody like Davante Adams traded. I think we'll see Deontay Johnson gets traded. But there'll be somebody we think is getting traded that just doesn't, because it happens every single year.
I wonder if as the league moves on, if it'll be more like Major League Baseball. Like, people forget now The Detroit Tigers didn't trade Tarik Skubal, and thank Christ they didn't for their own sake. They traded away other players. The Tigers half-assed the trade deadline. They didn't trade their biggest star, but they did. They were sellers more than they were buyers at the deadline.
And young players stepped up.
Some of these NFL teams might be right served to try something similar, right? Maybe you don't trade, not in this case, Devontae Adams will be, like if you're in the mix. Maybe you don't trade your star player because you're stuck in no man's land and you're 3-6, right? If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, maybe you don't trade Trey Hendrickson, but you do trade T. Higgins. And you rely on Yoshimas and some of the other young guys to take over those roles instead because you're stuck in no man's land. So you get yourself some draft pick compensation in case this goes south. But if we start playing well, we don't sell the whole farm so that we just have no other option today. I know we were excited to watch Royals playoff baseball yesterday and again today right here on 96.5 The Fan. You can obviously come join us at Jefferson's in Lenexa.
Somebody on the text line wanted to know if they said, is the restaurant ready for lunch service? Well, they open up here in like 5 minutes. Someone says, can you bartend for us while we do the show? Not while we do the show, but maybe at a future day we'll have to guest bartend.
If they could let me behind the bar, I'll pour one beer for someone today.
We got a thumbs up.
So I'll pour a couple of beers today. Or maybe I'll pour some of those shots, right?
Dollar rally shots. We had one of those blue.
Finney hits a home run today. I'll pay for 10 rally shots, and I will actively get him behind the bar. You know, I'll do the work.
I'll leave the tip
for the service staff.
You said you guys would have one ready. I did not have one yesterday.
Is that why you left early?
Where'd you go, Drew?
You missed the best part. You left in the fourth inning. You had wings. You took some wings to go.
I left at the end of the sixth inning.
Even worse. You left at the end of the sixth. You missed the best part. We were having a great time. Are you staying? Are you committing to the whole game today?
I think I will be there today, and I will watch the whole game. That is the plan.
Were you just – what happened? Life or just you were not enjoying the Royals? You gotta at least be on the Royals bandwagon. If we can't get you on the Chiefs bandwagon, you gotta get on the Royals bandwagon.
I think wife was ready to go home.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, fair enough.
Putting it on your wife. Bold. Bold decision. Bold. You should have taken that bullet. That's all I'm saying. You should have been like, you know what, I was spent. Long day, playoff time.
I was also tired as well. I was ready to go home and take a nap.
Game's moving fast.
Look, I followed the game. I listened to it on the way home. I watched the end of it at home while I was laying down on the couch. I watched it.
Little relaxation.
I was disappointed. I was really disappointed.
And I wasn't even here, so like you can't listen to me. I had family stuff to attend to. Life gets in the way sometimes. I had to watch the end of the game at home as well, but I'll be here for the entire time as well here at Jefferson's in Lenexa. Gold, tell them those specials one more time.
Dollar rally shots, $3 Royal Blue refreshers. We had one or two of those yesterday. Also, we split a couple of those $12 Miller and Coors buckets. I was told that they went through quite a few of those Coors Lights yesterday. Quite a few of the old Coors Lights yesterday. So hopefully that is the case again today. Coming up next, though, we continue broadcasting here from Jefferson's in Lenexa. So what is actually on the line for the Royals today? And I do want to talk about something that maybe we didn't compare enough, and that was the two managers heading into this series. It stood out yesterday. That's next here on Cody and Gold.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.